does. And it takes, well, it's like Mike, the young man that's just been married a year. And I know everybody's watched him because he don't eat. I don't know how he goes. I fuss at him. I try my best to get him to eat. And I try to tell him that that's like food is nothing but fuel to a car. If you ain't got no gas, that car ain't going to go. And he fasts a lot. He's a young preacher. But I don't know how he goes and not eats all day. I say, Mike, you've got to turn me down, son. You got me down? I don't know what I'm doing, but boy, it's loud. But I told Mike, I said, Mike, now you listen to me. And Lisa fusses at him. Like I said, they've only been married a year. And they're the sweetest two people you've ever seen in your life. Everywhere you see one, you're going to see Mike, you're going to see Lisa. Wherever you see Lisa, you're going to see Mike. And I think that's a good thing. Amen. That's a good thing. And I told him, I said, now, son, I said, whatever you do, I said, keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Get that singular vision. And I'm always picking at him because him and his dad farms a lot. They got, I don't know, 400 or 500 acres they farm. And I told him, I said, one day, I said, Mike, you just absolutely got past your upbringing. If you're a kid with him, he don't know how to take you sometimes. And I said, I mean, you got past your upbringing. He's my Timothy. I tell him anything. He gets in my library and steals all my books. That ain't going to work. That boat ain't going to float. Amen. But I sure do love that boy. And he got back today, and bless his heart, all of them called me, and they left this morning, headed up the road, and didn't even invite me for breakfast. That hurt my feelings so bad. I'm in Hebrews chapter 11. It's amazing. I've not talked to Brother Larry. I've not said a word to him. Did you hear what he said about the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy? I went today, I was preaching in chapel, and I went and found me a mouse trap. And I got me do y'all know what a steel trap is down here? Anyway, I had some of them, and them kids, I got so tickled at Brother Noble's little grandson, I think it was. He said, that's a mouse trap. I said, what's it for? He said, catch a mouse. I'm in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read just one verse, please, or two verses. Verse 31. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 31. Hebrews 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 32, Hebrews 10. But call to remembrance the what? Say it back to me. But call to remembrance the former days. Now, the word but is a conjunction. In verses 31, he says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Then he says, but call to remembrance the former days in the which after that you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Anybody that's been around me any length of time knows that I love history. Boy, I love America. I do. You don't know. I've been to so many mission fields. That's one of the reasons why that I so appreciate America. I've seen little kids eat out of garbage cans. And third world countries. And I never dreamed in my lifetime that I've had the privilege to go to Australia. I went to New Zealand. I went this morning, name it, New Guinea. And when you see how those people live and how poverty-stricken they are, boy, and you come back over here and see how good we got it. Amen. I'm glad I was raised poor. Amen. But in fact, we spelt poor with four O's. Amen. But let's go back. I want you to look in verses 32. But call to remembrance the former days. I love to read. I read all the time. And we need a revival that'll change us for eternity. Not just a meeting. Brother Lawrence and I, we now talk about it. And sometimes we have a spring revival and a fall revival and nothing in between. Boy, a real revival will change you. Now, anybody knows America needs to be changed. And I think about these young people. Thank God they're here tonight. But the only hope for our youth is a moving of God. I want to show you tonight and preach on former days. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? There's a man by the name of Richard Furman. Richard Furman he's the founder of what's called the Furman University. And he pastored the First Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, you want to remember his name. Richard Furman. Richard Furman preached George Washington's farewell address. Great preacher, used of God mightily. But it was in 1799. This great man of God, come to the forefront by the name of Richard Furman. And he sent out circular letters all over. Now remember, they didn't have printing presses like we have. They handwritten all the copies, and he sent a courier and said, I want you to take this and deliver this to all churches of like faith. And he sent them, they rode by horseback. He said, when we have our annual meeting, he said, I'm going to preach on why that Christianity is a decline in 1799. Boy, that got a hold of me. If there's a decline in 1799, in the year 2009, what was it like? Now listen to this. Let's go back. In the former days, in 1799, our birthday of the United States is 1776. So only 23 years have elapsed, and Richard Furman comes to the forefront. Now we know the British was here, we know the French were here, but we also know the early pioneers was here. We know that our forefathers left England to come here that they might have freedom of worship. Then they started to... anybody ever been through the Cumberland Gap? One, two. Is that knocked down gorgeous? Every chance I get, I drive Interstate 40 so much, I leave Somerset, I go down 27, I pick up Interstate 75, I go down to Knoxville, pick up 640, head over to 40, and go to North Carolina. I go so much, I turn my car loose and go by itself. I get tired of going 40. I get tired of running that thing. I get tired of going up into Virginia, so guess what I do? I take 25E and go over through the Cumberland Gap. I love it. I absolutely love it. We went up on top of the pinnacle. Anybody ever been on top of the pinnacle? I love it. Ain't that pretty, Miss Sharon? Can you imagine Daniel Boone standing there and looking over through that, and that what's called the pinnacle? You people down here ain't never lived. Y'all flatlanders. Y'all need to get over on the pinnacle. I want you to listen to this. You can stand on the pinnacle and see three states in every direction. It's knocked down, gorgeous, beautiful. Well, here's what intrigued me. Here's what really got a hold of me. Anybody ever lived on a farm? Y'all ever live on a farm? Live on a farm. Do y'all remember in years gone by, have you ever seen cows walk the same path? They always walk the same path, always. Have you ever questioned why? Have you ever just questioned why that they stay right on the same path? Well, one thing, there's no rocks in the path. Did you know in 1700, did you know there was hundreds of thousands of buffaloes in the eastern part of the United States? Did you know the early settlers, what's called the early church? Did you know when they left Jamestown, Virginia? And they came what we now call down through Withville, Virginia. And they come down through there and they come through the Cumberland Gap. Can you imagine the first time that they stood and looked over the Cumberland Gap? Can you imagine? And guess what they done? The early settlers followed what's called the Buffalo Trails. And here's what's so interesting. I was born and raised in Crab Orchard, Kentucky, right on 150, right on the Wilderness Trail. Only had one red light and we shot it out. That's the God's honest truth. Wicked town. But in Daniel Boone's own memoirs, won't you listen to this, he said we camped on what's now called the Dix River, on the forks of a river, which is called the Dix River. That's about 4 or 5 miles outside of Crab Orchard. And they camped there for 3 solid months, and he sent back a courier back to Jamestown, Virginia, to tell his brother by the name of Squire. You know, y'all bound to have heard of Squire Boone sometime or another. He sent for Squire and his party. They waited on him for 3 solid months for Squire to come there to where, from where he was at, to all the way to what they call now the Dix of the Forks River, and waited on him. And it's in his own memoir. Do y'all know why he sent for Squire Boone? He wanted Squire Boone to tell the red men about Jesus. Daniel Boone was not a saved man, but his brother Squire sure knew God. Now here's what I want you to see. Go back. Now what would it have been like in 1799? It won't take me long. What would it have been? One, they would have not had no electricity. Say amen, we get along good. They would not have had running water. Only running water they had, you'd run and got it. They'd have had lanterns. Now listen to me. No trucks, no interstates, no sports stadiums. No TVs, no radios, no microwaves. I don't know how they lived without a microwave. But they would not have had. Now, but trust me, they had saloons. Trust me, they had gambling. And trust me, they had liquor. So them three predominant things, liquor and a saloon and then gambling, and probably had prostitutes, I'd say. But my point is, in 1799, this man by the name of Richard Furman, he sent out a letter, this great preacher that had preached George Washington's farewell address. I want ever all the preachers to come, bring your people, and I'm going to preach on the subject on why there's a decline in spirituality in 1799. Boy, that intrigued me. That got all over me. He said in 1799, our nation would only have been 26 years old. He said, we're languishing. He says, there's no vigor, there's no slack. He says, and we're dull, and we've lost our strength, and there's no spirit in 1799. No interstates, no trucks, no cars, no microwaves, no electricity. At the early settlers, they would have come and they would have started building cabins and settling the land, raising gardens. Now watch this. He said, and he sent out these flyers. He said, this is why there's a decline in spirituality in 1799. The first one was, he said, we are withholding God's rightful due. Now, immediately, y'all think I'm talking about money, don't you? He said, we are withholding God's rightful due. That's the reason why there's such a decline in spirituality in 1799. And Brother Larry, he hit the head right, he hit the nail right on the head. We talk about, and there's more ways to give God's due rather than, and I believe you ought to tithe, I believe you ought to give offerings, amen. And I believe you're rotten and you ought to be shot if you don't. But I'm just saying this. All right, how do we withhold God his due? We talk about everything in the world other than what we ought to talk about. We talk about sports, we talk about politics, we talk about whether the Dow's up or down. Brother Sisson, he said we are withholding God's due. 1799. He said, and I believe this all my heart, one way I believe we can give God his rightful due, and you don't see this much in churches anymore. We don't praise God much anymore. Now, the old people did. The old people did. Hey, Brother Noble, in our church at one time, and I've been a member there 27 years, we had four ladies that sat in our church. Mrs. Redmond, we got talking about this week. All four of them ladies sit together, and they was widows, every one of them. And I'm telling you, brother, if you had any preaching you at all, I mean, they'd shout the rooftop down. I mean, son, they'd let her rip. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about where are they at now? We don't have... now, they go to ball games and scream and holler, amen. But you don't see a whole lot of in churches anymore. You don't hear a lot of hallelujah, glory, bless the Lord. You don't hear that. But you sure hear it in the secular world. I sure appreciate them guys coming. But I tell you right now, our churches, well, we're losing them to this world, because the world has more seeming like to offer them than the average church does. Amen, sister. How they drag in, drag out, no excitement, no enthusiasm. Here, God, about the time you see me, I get happy when you see a five family yard sale sign. Whoopee, amen. We're happy now. But I'm saying we are withholding God his due. We say, Brother Larry, we assemble ourselves to do what? Tell me, what? Give me the definition. Yeah, give me the definition. Whoop it on me. The word worship means adoring. Okay. It's like Jay, when he met Betty, he said, I just adore you. Right, Jay?
Right.
You don't have to be so hard-hearted, Jay. No, I'm just stiffening. The word adore, adoration, I just adore you. Well, is the Lord not worthy of our adoration? Don't let people rob you of that. What I'm saying is, everybody thinks you ought to come in and be real quiet, and for God's sakes, don't shout or don't get happy in the Lord. And I believe this all my heart, Brother Larry. If your mind is centered on what God's done for you and where he's brought you from, every now and then it's going to come out on you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He said, I'm talking about Richard Furman, and by the way, great preacher in years gone by, he said, we are withholding God his due in the year 1799. Boy, I thought about in 2009. Is that not true? The second thing he said, we are undervaluing God's rightful privileges. Boy, and I put that in my mind, I said, is that not the truth? What do you mean, preacher? I mean, we are the freedoms that we have. How about that one? Boy, is that not a privilege to vote? See, I mean, to carry a Bible in our arm, I guess, I know I've had guns pointed at me. I know I have sometime or another. But I mean, as to my knowledge, I've not had anybody pointing any guns at me or try to threaten me or say, don't you dare pull out a Bible. Boy, I got so tickled today. I get tickled. Y'all ever get tickled? Brother Richardson wanted me to meet with him, this guy from Sherman Williams. He's their rep, come down from Owensboro, drove all the way down here. We met out here in the parking lot. We was talking. He said, what kind of Baptist are y'all? I said, saved ones. I know I should have been mean, but I sort of get mean. I said, son, do you know the Lord? He's 34 years old. And he said, yes, sir. He said, let me ask you. He said, what about everything going on out here? Now, remember, he's their rep, and that's all he wanted to talk about. He wasn't too much interested in all this. He wanted me to tell him about current events. He wanted me to tell him about Obama. He wanted me to tell him, what is he playing this thing? And he goes to a church in Owensboro that has 2,000 people. And you could tell he didn't know one thing about propheticness at all. Now, that's sad. And I got so tickled, he said, do y'all shout? I said, not much anymore. But I said, in years gone by, boy, we used to let her rip. I seen my grandmother shout her bonnet off. They work in them fields. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? How many little old print dresses made their dresses out of flour sacks? Man, I'd follow my grandmother. We'd go to church, and before God, some of y'all couldn't handle this. And I've seen her, no pantyhoses, none of that kind of stuff. We're going to walk a creek, she'd pull her shoes off. We'd go across the creek, she'd put her shoes back on. Man, we'd get to the church house, and I'm telling you the truth. My grandma would get happy in the Lord, and boy, she'd start trying to find that purse. Y'all, look here, one of these things. And when I seen her doing it, let me tell you what I done. I'd go hide, because I knew what she was going to do. She'd say, "Whoa!" She'd have a spell in church. I'd get underneath the pew, scare me to death. Boy, if they do that in the average church, they'd kill everybody. Am I right or wrong, Brother Jay? But what I'm saying is, I'm telling you, in the year 2009, we're withholding God his due, and we're undervaluing God's privilege, coming to the house of God, our freedoms, the right to carry the Bible, the right to stand up, amen, and declare what's right and what's wrong. I told that boy today, the boy, he goes to a Christian church up in Owensboro, and 2,000 members, and I asked him who his pastor was. He said, he couldn't remember his name. But okay, but I want you to listen to this. He's kept asking me about current events and the earthquakes. And I quoted Matthew 24 where the Bible says there'll be pestilences, which is diseases. And I like it today. Y'all ought to heard what was happening. Brother Don said, Preacher Richardson got pig flu. Well, it's in the same connotation, swine, pig, it's the same. But he didn't, that poor man, he said he had an 8-year-old girl. Now, he's raising her up in that church, am I right? Doesn't know anything really about God. That's pitiful, ain't it? He didn't know anything about Matthew 24. And I asked him, and I wasn't trying to be ugly. God knows I'm not trying to be ugly. That's not my nature. He said, what kind of Bible you carry? I said, I carry a King James Bible. He said, well, I use the New International Standard Version. And I said, well, son, there's a whole lot of missing things. And I said, every generation we lose just a little. And I said, we're in a losing mode. He looked at me real strange. He said, I guess you're right. I said, hey, things ain't like it was when your daddy was around. He told me his daddy died. I said, it sure ain't like it was when his daddy was around. See, every generation we just lose just a little. Now watch this. We, as we sit here tonight, The same way that in 1799 they were undervaluing the privileges that God had given them. What do you mean, brother, sister? Like coming to the house of God, the Bible, the right to vote, the right to worship. But we take it all for granted. Amen, sister. And I told somebody, boy, they don't like this. People to get ready to get upset at me. There are 7.5 million Muslims in the United States. We are seeing what's called Islamification of America. We may not accept that, but I'm telling you, Isaiah says, strangers will devour your land. Let me give you a classic example. I'm on the radio, and I'll get home, and I'll have probably a stack of mail, and I'll have to make tapes and CDs and whatever. And here I get all them in my arm, and I'll go to the post office. What is today? Thursday the what? I know it's Thursday, but... Oh! All right, last of the month, first of the month. I'm telling you, I hate going to that post office with a whooping. I hate going over there. They'll be standing over there getting money orders. They can't speak English. Then you got to go get somebody to where they can understand them to pay for their money orders. Now, you're standing there, am I right? You're standing in line, right? Did you ever think the reason why the United States Postal Service is so much in the hole money-wise? You have to go hire somebody that's bilingual. Right or wrong? Now, guess what? Now, listen to this. Listen. Watch this. Personally, I know y'all probably don't like this. In years gone by, when they come into Ellis Island, and I'm talking about immigrants coming to the United States, did you know what they had to do? It was a requirement that they had to learn English. And guess what? There was a three-panel judge, and the three-panel judge would take a book, not necessarily the Bible, and they had to read a paragraph in English of that judge's selection. They couldn't memorize it. They had to read a paragraph. He'd hand it to them and say, read it. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but I believe that's the way it ought to be today. Hey, I'm over in Monterey, Tennessee. In Monterey, Tennessee, the whole city's given over to Spanish. There's no English in Monterey, Tennessee. That ain't right. What do you mean, preacher? I know we don't. Our God-given privileges are being eroded. And we take it all for granted. Preacher, since 1799, withholding God is due. Some of y'all wouldn't raise your hand and shout for nothing in the world. You're too inhibited. Number two, and they were undervaluing God's privileges, our freedom. Number three, 1700, they were disregarding God's judgments. Boy, are we not doing that. Number 32:23, be sure your sin finds you out. The psalmist said in Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked and the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Listen, Galatians 6, verse 7, it don't make a difference what I say. It says, God says, be not deceived. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do y'all, hey son, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or nothing. How many times was New Orleans warned about a Category 4 hurricane was coming? Do y'all know? How many? Talk to me. 26 times they were warned. They were warned. 26 times. They told them. The meteorologist told them. 26 times, hurricane Category 4 is coming. Well, they turned a deaf ear to it, go down and look at New Orleans. Have y'all ever questioned why that a Category 4 hurricane would hit New Orleans? Anybody ever been there? Lord help us. That's the most wickedest place I ever seen in my life. Let me show you, watch this. 26 times they were warned. He said, Richard Furman said, we are disregarding God's judgments. In other words, we just ignore them. The fires, the floods, the famines that's coming, the pestilences that's coming, Myrtle Beach, North Carolina, the beaches down there, 150-foot flames, that's all coincidental. Do you really believe that? But our young people, God bless their heart, they've been brainwashed. Let me tell you how we've been brainwashed. They say, on ABC and NBC News and Fox News, they say, the jet stream has now moved up. And they say, Mother Nature has sure dealt us a hard blow. Anybody ever seen her? Amen, guys. They say, Mother Nature. They've grown up on that word, Mother Nature. We don't see. We put God out of the equation. We take Him out of it completely. I'm telling you, we're not going to get by with it. The fires, the floods, the shortages. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, is warning people and trying his best to tell people that, see, most of California, a lot of California is watered with what they call aqueduct. And you see, Arizona, my oldest boy lived in Phoenix, Arizona. They've got an aqueduct that comes down up out of the mountains. It's unbelievable. That's how they water all the desert. Phoenix, Arizona is nothing but a desert. Somebody said, how is it in Phoenix, Arizona, Brother Sisson? I said hot. Oh, it's a different kind of heat, Brother Sisson. It's different. I said, well, what's different about it? They said, well, describe it to me. I said, turn your oven up to about 110 degrees and stick your head in there. That's hot. It's so hot, I'm talking about, you can't even walk on the sidewalks. It's so hot out there. And yet they build a city right in the middle of a desert. That's real brilliant, ain't it? They have to take, the water has to come down. I'm telling you what, and Brother Tom, Arnold Schwarzenegger is telling his whole state because of the shortage of rain. Are y'all listening to me? Listen to this. When there's no rain, everything dries out. When everything dries out, that increases the fires. He's telling them stuff like celery, lettuce, anything like that, there's going to be a shortage of it this fall like you've never seen before. All right, if there's a shortage, don't that make the price go up? Well, everybody says, Preacher Sisson, we are withholding God's judgments. We don't believe God judges. Can I tell you something, not trying to be ugly? Do you really think that we're going to get by with five states already ratified same-sex marriages? They ain't no way. Check out, if you read the book of Genesis and read Romans chapter 1, God gave that bunch over to a reprobate mind. Rain down fire and brimstone. The young man today out there, he asked me, said, do you really think that was fire and brimstone? I said, what the Bible says. He said, really? I said, it says God rained down fire and brimstone on them. Brother Sisson, okay, disregarding God's judgment, volcanoes erupting, hell hath enlarged itself to meet thyself at thy coming, fires, floods. In my 60 plus years, I've never seen nothing like it. I've never seen nothing like it. I mean, I've never seen the problem. You ought to come to Kentucky. Did you know, hey, Brother Noble, did you know Lake Cumberland's down 43 feet? Our lake is down 43 feet. Did you know we have over 2,000 miles of shoreline in Lake Cumberland? They got a dam down there, well, two dams, and so the Corps of Engineers, they're working on the one dam, so they've drawn all the water down. That too, and we've not had a lot of rain. And so these people that's got these expensive houseboats, they can't even get to their houseboats. They're throwing fits. Y'all understand, up here's the lake level, right? When it goes down 40-some feet and here's all your boat slips, am I right? You can't get to them. And most of them, guess what? They can't get their beer, they can't get their whiskey, they can't get it on their houseboats to get out in the lake and get drunk, throw parties. Ain't that pitiful? But I mean, we don't believe that God is in control of the rain. We don't believe God's in control of the elements. We sure don't act like it. Say amen. He said, this Richard Furman, withholding God his due, undervaluing God's privilege, disregarding God's judgment. And number four, he says, we are neglecting the means of the grace of God. I want you to do something with me, Brother James. Do it for me. He's good at it, boy. 13 hours, I'd be good at it too. My arm would be falling off. Do this to me. Raise your hands up. Just do that for me. Is that not a blessing to be able to do that? Right. Do it for me. Just do it. Is that not a blessing to be able to do that? Right. But see, we don't believe that that's the means of the grace of God. That's the truth. In Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17, verse 28. It's only by the grace of God He can do that. It's only by the grace of God you can even do that. Amen. But see, somehow or another, our humanistic thinking, we think, I've took care of my body, I've taken vitamins, and I've taken B12, and I've took this, and I've took that. We're neglecting, we don't even seem to think that it's God that gives us the ability to do that. It's my ability, my ingenuity, my education. I've done this, I've done that. It's only by the grace of God. In Him we live and move and have our being. It's only by the grace of God. It's not you that's got in fourth stage of Alzheimer's. Amen, sister. Boy, that's one disease. I hope and pray that God spares me of that. Have you ever seen a person? I had a friend of mine that worked at Ford Motor Company. In fact, I'll see him next week. He worked at Ford Motor Company in Cincinnati and Sharonville for 38 years of his life. He lived to retire. His name is Buck Knight. Super nice guy. He'd been retired about 3 years. Don't you listen to this. Brother Buck loves God. But I'm telling you right now, he cannot leave one living room to the other room and not find his way back. That breaks my heart. Just every year I keep seeing him go down and down and down. His poor wife, God bless her heart, called me right before I left in here. She said, Brother Sisson, she says, have everybody to pray for me. She said, but see, the patient attaches themselves to the caregiver. Do you understand what I just said? They don't like them out of their sight. They want to be wherever they're at. If they take a shower, they want to be there with them. Wherever they're at, they want to be where they're at. She said, Brother Sisson, I don't know what to do. I said, Miss Linda, God will give you the help. God will give you the strength to get you. Take one day at a time. Say amen. Our problem is we're all living way down the road somewhere. Amen. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to, 2010, I'm going to retire. May not be no 2010. But see, we don't think like that. Our mindset is we live, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take me a dream vacation. I've never understood this. This blows my circuit board. People live for what they call a dream vacation. They dream. One day, I tell you, I'm going to play golf. One day I'm going to fish. I think the average person after they retire is 2 years. Boy, that's a mouthful, ain't it? I don't know why we neglect. We say, well, we got all these good doctors and we got all these physicians. Praise God for them. Say amen. I thank God for good doctors. Amen. But what I'm saying is a good doctor will tell you right now God's the one who gives him the ability. And I'm saying our day and time, 2009, somehow or another, our minds is not centered on the Lord, but I'm saying we disregard God's judgment, neglecting the means of grace. And then number four, he said formality has set in. In 1799, formality had set in. Hey, let's talk a minute. Brother James. What would the average person wore to church in 1799? Huh? What would the average person wore to church in 1799? What do you think? Huh? I probably didn't have no bibs. Not in 1799. Made out of hides. They had old spinning looms. Cloth material in 1799. They didn't have no Sears and Roebuck, Jay. Didn't have no Walmart. My wife, bless her heart, she says, we're getting ready to leave out, go on a meeting, and I say, we go through this little checklist. We got this, got this, got that, got this, and we get ready to leave. She'll say, if we don't have it, Walmart's got it. We think Walmart's got it all. But I mean, cloth in that day and time. In 1799, cloth would have been a commodity. Women made most of their clothes. Men made shirts, made leather breeches. Hey, man. What I'm saying is, but he said formality had set in. in 1799 in Charleston, South Carolina, he said formality had set in the churches and this was causing a decline. Boy, I remember when I was a boy, clothes don't make a man. I remember used to, they'd come right out of the fields in overalls. I do. I can remember they used to come in, they'd have a khaki shirt. Y'all remember what a khaki shirt? And they'd come in, so had the sleeves down here. And now watch this. Everybody's concerned about what everybody else wears or what they don't wear or if that's designer clothes or wonder where they got them at. Mine is called the local thrift shop. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. They'll say, I got me a $500 suit. Well, whoop-dee-doo. I had rather have, that's dumb to me. To me, I'd rather have three suits that cost $100 a piece as have one that costs $300. Is that good thinking? Is that good logic? Put a $300 suit on a 99-cent body. Maybe a little bit more back there if we rendered him out a little more. But am I not telling you the truth? Brother Sisson, I'm saying the character of a person, or integrity, honesty, decency. So now that we forget this, we forget, and look here, and I'm not trying to be ugly. Did you know the reason why a lot of people won't attend church? You ought to go out and knock on doors, buddy, and get involved. Did you know a lot of them, they'll say this, I wouldn't feel right, I can't dress like they do. Isn't that talk terrible? And their pride gets a hold of them, and you'll even, my wife has given them clothes and everything, children, and then pride gets in the way. And they'll say, well, I just wouldn't feel comfortable. Well, I don't believe church, I know what they're saying, but church was never meant for you to feel comfortable. Right. Now, I believe this, I believe it. You ever heard this old thing, put on your Sunday, go to meeting clothes? If he gave his best, the Lord Jesus, then we ought to give our best to him. Right. I believe with all my heart, I don't believe you ought to dress for Brother Richardson. I don't believe you ought to dress for anybody. I believe you ought to dress for the Lord. Good preaching, Melvin. Then he says, if we neglected the means of grace, formality had set in. Then listen to this one. They become lovers of the world. I wish somebody would tell me in 1799, what in the world would it have been back there for them to love? No amusement parks, no Six Flags over Georgia, no, what's the place in Cincinnati? Kings Island. They wouldn't have had no amusement parks. Well, what did they do? I mean, if there's lovers of the world, what was it? In 1799. Well, turn to Matthew chapter 13 with me, please, right quick. Matthew, please, chapter 13. Look in your Bible. Richard Furman said, he said they were withholding God's due in 1799, undervaluing God's privileges, our freedoms, disregarding God's judgments, and then they were neglecting the means of the grace of God. I said in Brother Noble, Brother Tom, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. Did y'all remember, and we're getting out of an equation, we're stepping out of something. 20 years ago, children honored their mothers and daddies far more back 20 years ago than they do now. And then 20 years beyond that, they sure honored them a lot more than they do now. Why is it that so many young people's lives is being taken? Explain this to me. Why is so many young people's lives being taken? Well, Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right that you might have a long life upon the earth. So if you do contrary to that, then you're taking off the top end of your life. Boy, I admire, I don't know how you do it, but I admire parents that instill this thing in their children, how that they ought to respect them and honor them. Amen. But in our day and time, I thought about this thing, lovers of the world. Go to Matthew, please, chapter 13. Let me read this verse to you. How could they, in 1799, they probably had horse racing, probably had, had saloons somewhere, I guess. I don't know. And I assume they probably had card playing. But I'm saying, he said they become lovers of the world. Well, look at Matthew 13. People basically the same all down through the ages. But look at Matthew 13. Let's read together verse 22. Jesus said this. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Now watch this. And the care of this what? What? The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and they become unfruitful. The Bible says in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And I told you the last night, the world is anything that's in opposition to God. But somehow or another, we don't see that. Our children are going to hell at a breakneck speed. Let me tell y'all this. When my boy got killed, Nathan, Richard knew he owns Lake Cumberland Funeral Home, and he's a good friend of mine, and Richard loves God. You just don't see very many funeral directors that love God. I mean, really love God. But Brother Richard knew loves God. He took care of, helped me when my boy got killed. He come over to the house to see how I was about 3 or 4 weeks after. Sat down in my living room, and I fixed him a cup of coffee. He said, Brother Sisson, he laid this on my desk. He said, you might want to read this. And so right then I didn't read it, but after he left, it was a newspaper clipping. What do y'all think is the biggest age group that's dying? What do you think out here, Brother Larry, is the biggest age group that's dying? How many of y'all remember used to, they brought the bodies home when you had a death? Would y'all raise your hand? How many of y'all remember they used to bring the body to the home? Amen. They'd sit up with it 2 or 3 days, right? Then they took the body out of the home and start making what? Funeral homes. And then the funeral home only had one chapel. Only had one place for one body. Right? Now then, funeral homes all over this country have got 4 and 5 rooms for bodies. Everywhere. I mean, I've never seen nothing like it in my life. If I go to the Carolinas, Virginia, Alabama, Georgia, and if we happen to go to the funeral home, maybe someone dies, I mean, they'll have 4 and 5 bodies in one funeral home at a click. Well, Brother Richard New gave me this. He's a member of Denham Street Baptist Church. The biggest age group that's dying is the age between 17 and 44. Well, that's a phenomenal thing. Everybody saying, well, now, Brother Sisson, I'll get to live to be 80. How do you know you will? If I believe the Bible, and I do, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that you might have a long life upon this earth. I told my granddaughters, I threatened their lives. I threatened to inflict pain on them. I said, if I catch you out here texting messages, driving, they're my granddaughters, I guess I can do that if I want to, can't I? I said, and I was trying to put fear in them. Do you understand what I meant? But I was trying to put texting messages, driving. I know y'all been seen it. That one girl, none of them had an 18th birthday and killed all 4 of them. Just like that. All 4 of them killed. She was texting a message. You never believe, you can't believe in Somerset how many young people are getting killed. I've never seen nothing like it. And I'm talking about Somerset. Where I was just come out of Roanoke, Virginia, they had 3 young people's deaths down there, like in the early 20s. Oh, I'm telling you. Let's go back and watch this. Why? Look at it. He says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. They love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Brother Sisson, every generation we lose just a little. He said, send out a circular letter. And he said, the decline of spirituality in 1799. And every one of these things that I just told you are predominant in our society in 2009. See, that's the reason why that I believe with all of my heart, boy, we need revival. How many a revival that'll stick? I'm talking about a revival that'll stick with you, amen. How many of you in this building have got unsaved loved ones? Well, how many of you, by the showing of your hand, somebody prayed for you? Now that you are saved, you know somebody prayed for you and stood in the gap for you. I got my hand raised. Boy, thank God. Say amen right there. But I'm saying, don't we owe somebody else that same privilege? I was telling them up there last week, I said, if you was arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of it? How long has it been since our kids seen us on our knees crying out, God, please save my boys, save my grandchildren. The cares of this world has come in, and it's our burden for our children has ceased. The tears have quit flowing. The praise has quit going up before God. I want us to stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Oh, brother, listen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. How was it in 1799? The great preacher, Richard Furman. The cares of this world. Brother Larry, you come. Neglecting the means of grace, formality have set in. Then he said they were undervaluing God's privileges. Then they said, he said, we're withholding God his due. Boy, I don't know how anybody in this building feels. Somewhere out there, I got enough sense to know I'm one heartbeat from eternity slipping out of this world. Our children need to see us on our faces before God. I'd rather die as to quit on the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Could I ask you tonight? Hey, 1799. Think about the year 2009. Could I ask you tonight, would you come and say, God, please help us. Help my home. Help my children. Help my grandchildren. Lord, help my boys. I catch myself all the time praying for my boys. God, please. Lord, I want my boys to honor you with their lives. I want my grandchildren. I want them to honor God with their lives. I don't care if they ever amount to what some people amount to great things in this world. I'd rather they just love the Lord. God bless their hearts. Would you come tonight? Please come tonight. Our Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for Lord, the divine means of grace. God, for loving sinners and Lord, for forgiving sinners. Lord, for writing our name down the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, would you please help us, as Brother Larry's already said. God, we talk about things and Lord, our minds are so diverted from the real things of God. Lord, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And Lord, all the time our children are slipping off into eternity. God, please tonight help us. Lord, bring revival. Lord, please breathe upon us. Save that man or woman nearest hell. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, Brother.